BDNG podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I am the Education Development Lead for the BDNG. I hope you enjoy listening to the BDNG podcast and find them beneficial to your practice. These podcasts are sponsored by Amaril. Amaril has no influence over the content of these podcasts. Happy listening. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of BDNG Meets Podcast. My name is Tina McKenzie and I'm the Education and Development Lead for the BDNG. So today I have great pleasure of introducing Professor Chris Griffiths. I'm sure who does need not any introduction, well known in the world of dermatology. And today we're going to be talking about highlighting homelessness, which is quite a different topic, but also very much related, I would say, to what we're seeing in consultations and also the fact is that, you know, it is highlighting some of the skin conditions that are happening within the homelessness as well. So, Chris, could I just get you to sort of talk about how you became involved with this project and your thoughts?
Yeah, well, thank you, Tina, for asking me to talk about homelessness. I mean, I guess I first became interested in this a number of years ago, and as you may be aware, I've been involved in global health dermatology for probably about 10, 11 years now, maybe a bit more than that, since I became the director of the Global Psoriasis Atlas and started to think about, you know, the management of skin disease more broadly and not just in rather the rarefied world that I've worked in over the years in NHS hospitals and hospitals in the United States, where, of course, we have a lot of facilities and a lot of resources. Even though people may say the NHS is a resource-poor setting, actually, we compare with most countries around the world, we're extremely well off and don't get, I think, the doctors and the staff and the nurses and the patients probably don't realise how well-equipped we are. So, as you know, with the Global Psoriasis Atlas and linked to that, we do overseas work. It's not just all work sitting behind a desk and so doing analysis of databases. It's actually getting out in the field and seeing patients in their home setting, if you like. And I suppose that having, you know, done skin disease surveys around the world, Tanzania, Greenland, South Africa, Armenia, and also being involved in visiting refugee camps, Syrian refugee camps in the Bekaa Valley in the Lebanon, and also the world's largest refugee camp, which is in Cox's Bazar in eastern Bangladesh, where the Rohingya Muslims, a population from Rakhine State, in the west of Myanmar, Burma, were displaced because of the genocide. I've sort of had the opportunity to see how we can manage patients with skin disease in what are truly resource-poor settings. And it comes under, I guess, the rubric of migrant health. You may say, well, why the hell would that be important to, you know, see to work in the UK? Well, I think we learn a lot by working in these resource-poor settings overseas. One learns a lot about oneself, how one can manage skin disease without very much in the way of equipment, because I think what we fail to recognize is that to be a healthcare provider in dermatology requires nothing more actually than your eyes, your brain, and your hands. You know, we have immensely transferable skills. We need very little equipment, if any, other than those sort of three important components I've just mentioned. Obviously, some knowledge goes a long way as well. It's not just those three things. You've got to know something about it. But and what I've realized is, of course, is that, you know, people think, well, they can't do anything like, can't do tropical dermatology, they couldn't go to any of those places. Well, actually, the sort of diseases we see are usually the ones we see back home in Manchester or London or wherever one may be working. And for instance, in our recent work in South Africa, our big skin disease survey, the commonest skin disease we saw was, guess what? Acne, you know?
Really?
Obviously, there were some rarer things that we wouldn't see so much in the UK, such as leprosy, but, you know, those are not the norm.
Yeah.
So you learn a lot about recognizing and managing skin disease in resource poor settings. But also one learns a lot about oneself and how you can develop leadership skills, which are going to be valuable when you come back to work back in the NHS. So the reason this is important, and the reason that I've thought about it quite a bit, is that prior to COVID, everyone nowadays seems to think of sort of pre-COVID and post-COVID era.
Yeah, true.
When I was working in Manchester, I'm in London now, there was a large homeless population in Manchester.
Yeah.
And it was a problem. We saw it frequently. And I felt that we weren't doing anything to help these people. And so back in 2018, 2019, I had some conversations with the mayor's office at that time, and that was Andy Burnham was the mayor. He still is the mayor of Greater Manchester, and he has one of his missions really to help to improve the lot of people who experience homelessness in Manchester and Greater Manchester, and he has done a lot to help those people. Who often on the streets for no fault of their own. It's sometimes just for some circumstance. It's surprising how quickly it can happen to someone. They lose their job, and then there's mental health issues kicking in, and then next minute they're out on the streets. And there's also this embarrassment and shame they have that they're not working, and it becomes self-perpetuating almost. So I talked to him about this homeless population. I knew that was not, it may not be the most important thing that most people would think about as for people who experience homelessness to manage skin conditions, but actually I think it would make a big difference.
Yeah.
And the reason that I felt that is that around about 2018, 2017 maybe, maybe about 2018, there was a television program at Christmas at that time where, and I don't know which part of the UK this was filmed in, but it was very powerful. Because there were some hairdressers who had decided to offer hairdressing services, just barber services, really, to men. It was all men who were homeless.
Right.
And these guys, I remember it was really very dramatic and very moving. They came in to this, this sort of pop-up barber's shop, I guess. And, they were the sort of people who, I think a lot of the population would not have taken a second thought about.
Yeah.
They would have navigated around them on the street. They felt they weren't, almost it sounds a terrible thing to say, but felt that they weren't human beings.
Yeah.
And that's often the way that I think they get treated. They were unkempt. They had not, they'd been lying out, been in, living on the street for quite some time, long hair, beard, and they sat in the barber's chair, and they had their hair cut and they had their beard trimmed. And as it was happening, you could see that suddenly they started to relax and became, it's want of a better term, they became more human.
Yeah.
And it was that simple act of just doing something to help them and make them feel better about themselves was very powerful. And I thought, well, we're not going to go and do any hairdressing, but managing skin disease can make people feel a lot better about themselves, because the way that a lot of people tend to be judged by the general public, and we see this all the time, Tina, don't we?
Yeah.
Is this, they stigmatize people with overt skin disease,
absolutely,
whether it's psoriasis, eczema, or whatever else. And that sort of adds to that, I don't want to deal with this person, they're homeless, they're lying on the street, they've got all these, they've got some skin disease, which is probably contagious, and I don't want to have anything to do with them. So it compounds the whole situation. And I thought, well, there are things we can do to help people. And we can maybe set up pop-up clinics around Greater Manchester, where just a group of dermatologists, they would advertise it through various media, that we were going to be there, say at Bury Market or wherever else, on, say, over a weekend, and that we'd see these people. Now, these are not going to be the individuals who are going to come to a follow-up appointment. It has to be a one-stop shop. But can see them, diagnose whatever skin disease, if they have any, and manage it there on the spot, whether it's sort of advice about treating scabies or advice about management of eczema, then that would make a difference to them.
Huge
And
difference.
we went a long way to sort of getting this set up. And then, of course, COVID came and the mayor's office was totally distracted on something which was obviously in the bigger scheme much more important. And we never got back to it in Manchester. But Dr. Sidra Khan, who was a registrar with me at that time and had really organized the trip that we took to Cox's Bazaar in Bangladesh, and has been a very strong advocate for migrant health dermatology, and she's now a consultant dermatologist now in Glasgow. She and I talked about taking this forward post-COVID, and had several meetings with people about setting this up, and it was starting to get some traction. Whenever I've talked about this at meetings, when people ask me to talk about the work I do on global health dermatology, I often finish the lecture by talking about homeless people and talking about something that's termed frugal innovation, which is taking understanding and learnings from working in poorly resourced settings, such as in the global south, and bringing it back to the streets of London or Manchester or any big city, unfortunately, and using those skills to manage homeless people and their skin disease. And that was really the genesis of the meeting that we're hoping to have next year around people who experience homelessness. And we talked about what was the best way to take it forward. But whenever I've talked about it at these lectures, people have often come up to me and said, "How can I get involved with this?" Because it sort of strikes an immediate chord with people.
It
Yes,
does.
I'm not talking about some sort of way off place they've never heard of and probably never going to visit. And why the hell would Professor Griffiths be going to Armenia or wherever else? But actually, when you say, "Well, you can do this work on the streets of Manchester," they say, "Okay, I'll be really interested in helping with this." And I think there's a lot more we can do. I think we underestimate and undervalue what a powerful difference we can make as healthcare providers working in the management of skin disease, and whether
Absolutely.
it's nurses or pharmacists or doctors.
Yeah,
So
and
that's the background to the whole thing.
it's hugely powerful. And I know myself, as when I became involved in the projects with homelessness, it really opens up, your thoughts and feelings, and in a way humbilizes, what you can provide to, like you say, human beings, because these people are human beings and, deserve the recognition or deserve a haircut or deserve some medical treatment, but it doesn't always happen. And like you say, we navigate the streets and we avoid certain people because, they're wanting a home for the night or money for the night, and it's very, very difficult. But the way I feel as well, and you've really made some really important points as well, as I was reading further into this and writing an article actually for the BDNG, is this is happening absolutely everywhere. Yet we know certain homelessness can happen through tsunamis or poverty or war, but it happens everywhere. It can happen to anyone. And it also is happening within our clinics. We're having patients coming in with the fact that they haven't got a home, or they haven't, they're sofa surfing, and it's happening to families even. So it's really, really important for us to take this on board. And I think it's really important as well, like you say, everyone that you talk to about this project suddenly wants to be helping, suddenly wants to be involved. And I think yourself and Sidra as well have done amazing work in highlighting the fact that, yes, you've been to the different countries and experienced it, but you can bring this back to the UK and we can provide this. So you've talked openly about your feelings and how you've experienced this and how you want to help. Can I ask, Professor Griffiths, is there any sort of provision in the UK at the moment for the homelessness, as in the NHS? Is there any special clinic set up and down the country that you're aware of that possibly people listening to this podcast could possibly get involved with?
Yeah, there are clinics being set up, and I think that's one of the things that's become apparent to me is that there are clinics in some hospitals and also in GP surgeries. And there was one set up in Salford, actually. It was called Angels, and it was for homeless people to drop in. I don't think there's any dermatology provision, but certainly provision for other diseases such as maybe diabetes. And so there's already a sort of a background of help out there. And I think it's important that we in dermatology tap into that already formed infrastructure.
Absolutely.
And then do what we do best, which is provide skincare, you know, or make, provide skin, not just provide skincare, but also make diagnoses as well, because often that's part of the problem.
And it's also, I think sometimes we think of the obvious, you know, skin conditions that patients may experience. But I think as well, when you highlight like acne, you know, that may be one that certain, you know, healthcare professionals have not actually thought of, that it could be an issue. And if these patients are seen with a skin condition, are they followed up, or do they get any further help down the line? How does it work?
Well, I'm not so sure they do, because that's the problem, is it's actually, you know, having a regular follow-up. That's the thing. That's why I thought it may have, you know, obviously if they've got a skin cancer, then you really do want to, you know, whether they're going to be reluctant to have a biopsy or whatever else. That's you know, they're rather not keen on being, you know, engaging with the usual health and social services that we have, which is probably one of the reasons they're in one of the many reasons they've got the problems they do have. So you've got to sort of think about it. What is it that you can do to gain trust?
Yeah.
And also to try and do it more. If you need more than one stop shop, how are you going to ensure you get some follow up here?
Absolutely.
But, at least to see them in the first place. And of course, it's entirely voluntary. You're not going to go around the streets and tell people they need to turn out. You just, what we were planning to do is set up these, over a weekend at Berry Market or wherever it was, that there would be a bunch of dermatologists or a bunch of skincare experts who would be there, and, you know, let's see what turns up. And I guess it does surprise you when you do things like that. You know, I remember when we had the Manchester Psoriasis shout outs and we set that up, you know, 10, 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. Each day of the week, and during the shout out week, we had this pop up sort of little clinic that used to go, that went around the town, just a trailer really. And, you know, it's really to educate the general public about psoriasis, but also, you know, to give advice to people with psoriasis.
Yeah.
And I was amazed how many people with psoriasis who turned up to that trailer who had never seen a dermatologist. Then, you know, some of them had, you know, very extensive disease, but they'd been told many years ago, quite often, that there was nothing that you could do about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so they said, okay, well, there's nothing I can do. But actually, you know, there's an awful lot that can be done. I think that's the same with these people who experience homelessness. They, you know, probably don't realize that there's, you know, straightforward things that can be done to alleviate, you know, pruritus or whatever else, and whatever the cause of that is, whether it's head lice or scabies or eczema or some other cause of pruritus. So
Absolutely.
Those things just make their lives better and make them feel more human, I think.
I think that's it. It's making the person feel human, and, you know, being acknowledged, and also having a person in front of them, you know, even talking, even if it is just seeing them for the once, it can make a huge difference. And, you know, I know I've done similar with skin cancer, just general public turning up, and, you know, there was a bunch of doctors and nurses assessing skin cancer. That made a big impact, you know, for people that were worried or concerned. And I think, you know, it can be really kind of basic in a way what we can provide, but it can make a huge difference for these people. So obviously we're running out of time for this podcast. We could talk a lot more. We have got, within the BDNG, we are doing a bit more on this topic. We have got other podcasts and we've got articles, and also the BAD are running a special day for anyone that's had got an interest in homelessness, and there'll be such valuable resources there, so we can all sort of dip in and see what is out there, because sometimes it's even signposting, isn't it, Professor Griffiths, what we can actually provide. And the more I've dug into this topic, the more I found out and I didn't know was there, so it's always fantastic to hear about that. Before we close this podcast, are there any key highlights you would want to express to our listeners today?
No, I think the key, we've covered a lot of ground, and I've explained why I've got became interested in it, and I think why and why it's important. But I think also that, to get it, this is a way of getting involved with global health, but on your own doorstep.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
I think if you get a, if you find that empowering to be able to do such a thing, it feels so this is, you found a cause. Then that would be a stepping stone to maybe just managing homeless, skin disease and homeless people is your main specialty or your main sort of interest outside your, nine to five job, but also gives you a sort of thoughts, well, maybe I can do something more on migrant health and working in global health. And if that's the
Absolutely.
case, that would be fantastic because there's a real wave of enthusiasm for doing that sort of work now. And it is highly relevant to the personnel who work in the NHS who have done work like that makes one
Absolutely.
a better healthcare professional.
Absolutely. And I think the more you become involved, the more you find out about the people that are involved behind the scenes, and it's very empowering. And also, you can help. It can make a big difference. It can only be a little bit of help that you think you're providing, but it does make a big difference as well. And also, if anyone does want to be involved, or anyone wants any more information, then please contact myself on the usual email, and obviously I can forward any information to yourselves. So thank you very much, Professor Griffiths, for your time. I know how valuable your time is, and we really appreciate at the BDNG your support and all the information that you provide as well. It's phenomenal the work you do. So thank you for today.
No, thank you, Tina. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For further information on the BDNG, visit our website bdng.org.uk and watch out for the next BDNG podcast, which is coming soon.